This is Amiga Roundtable, Episode 3, for the week of July 8th, 2007. Lights, camera, Bill. All right, welcome to Episode 3 of Amiga Roundtable. Rich Lawrence here, and with me is my compadre, Sean Fitzgerald. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. And we got something special coming up a little bit later on in the show. It's an interview with Bill Patagoulias. Is it Patagoulias?
I think you had it right the first time. Oh, he's going to kill us.
He will. Well, I mean, you know, I'm terrible with names. I admit it. I am super horrible with names. So, Patagoulias.
I think you got it, man.
Sorry, man. I'm looking at it right now. It's Patagoulias. We asked for questions from the listeners for us to ask Bill, and we got a few. So we're going to put them to Bill a little bit later on in the show, see what answer he has for them. We'll see what he has to say.
Yeah. Ash it over.
Quick and simple.
You know, and there's, as far as a guest is concerned, there's definitely a lot of things that we could possibly talk about. His involvement in the Amiga community is quite broad, and even outside of the Amiga community with the movie that they're working on. So,
yeah,
it should be interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be a good interview, I think. I think we're all going to have fun on this, and I think the listeners are going to have fun just listening to the interview itself. All the answers that he's got for us, I think, are going to be really enlightening, and everybody's, I guarantee everybody's probably going to go, oh wow, at least once during the interview. At least once. Shall we get to the news?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. First up, some sad news, unfortunately. Jim Butterfield from T-Pug, back during the 8-bit computer days, especially with Commodore, has passed away back in June. He lost his battle with cancer.
Yeah, sad news there. I remember, you know, from my 8-bit days with C64 and 128, going to a local user group in my town where I was as a young lad, and all the software I got was out of T-Pug. And, I mean, Jim Butterfield was just you know, throughout the 80s and what have you, is just synonymous with Commodore and sorely missed. And, you know, he was still active on the 8-bit community and its goings on up until, you know, till the end. So, you know, what else can you say?
Yeah.
So, too bad.
Yeah, there's not much you can really say. So our condolences goes out to his family.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up, the 600-pound gorilla, Amiga versus Hyperion. Hyperion is seeking an injunction of against Amiga Delaware, and I don't get it. They're saying that they own the trademark since Amiga was insolvent when everything, you know, went down in Washington.
So, and Bill went on record saying that. I guess
that's that their total, their whole basis behind their injunction that they're throwing at Amiga Delaware right now. So
do you know what the timetable is with that, and what the judge will.
Once they get it, they have X number of days to reply, you know, and make their counter argument or whatever. Usually, I think it's like 30 days. But I'm going based on from what I know from when I was getting my divorce. So, you know, and that's about as close to civil law as I can get. You know?
Yeah, the closest I've ever come to a lawyer is closing on my house, and I saw enough of a lawyer to. Anyhow, yeah.
Yeah.
But what a mess. And the saga soap opera, whatever you want to call it, continues. And let's just hope that
60 posts, you know, 60 page posts later in the thread.
Yes. Yes.
So I think what we're going to have to do is we're just going to have to track down a lawyer who knows IP law, you know, corporate and IP law here in the U.S. and see if maybe they can shed some light on it. Because, I mean, doing the whole, you know, just speculating. I mean, we're not lawyers,
right?
So what's the sense in speculating on what's going to go on? All we can do is, you know, sit back and watch the mud fly.
If someone amongst us is, and they'd like to comment on that, break it down for us. You can write an email directly to me. I'd like the abbreviated text on what exactly this all means. But
I know.
I kind of just pass. I'm so sick of reading.
I know.
Speculate as to what the heck everything means. So
now we know why lawyers charge high prices.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little too dim to really get into the involvement of that. But
I'm with you on that. I am with you. So
anyhow,
yeah. Next again is
yes,
another
more Amiga legal.
More Amiga, yeah. Amiga Inc. to Thendic, a notice of termination for the contract. Now that was for was that for Amiga DE or was that
yes.
for the OS? That was for
well, that was Amiga. The tie-in to it, and
yeah, Bill Buck sued, didn't he?
Right.
Pretty much. That was the long and short of it. More litigation. Bill Buck sued Amiga, won. Amiga was supposed to create a port of Amiga DE, and it didn't happen, and for some reason, I guess they never got any hardware, so it never happened.
Right.
So, there you go.
Who's next?
Who's...
Their legal...
line up! Get your lawsuits while you can. Let's see. Next up was the Codex Alf. In Udine, Italy.
Yeah.
Where you could win a SAM 440 motherboard or a Minimig or a C1. And I guess that just got done just before we recorded today.
Yeah, not to steal thunder. I mean, you guys have probably already read this, but posting on Amiga World, it looks like, because we were just going to talk about the contest to win the board. And it looks like there is... it's going to be released in September for purchase at an upcoming show in September. And it'll come equipped with Crux Linux. Surprise, we all knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But a couple interesting things. A price, I guess, Rich, I know you and I were talking about this. I think it's going to be around in and around $400 to $500. Is that correct?
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is not a bad price, I mean, for a starter system. I mean, it doesn't beat the Athica, you know,
yeah.
$99, but still, I mean, it's a lot less expensive than the original so-called Amiga One boards, you know, the XE
sure.
and the SE.
Sure,
and,
sure. Yeah, the case, I guess they showed the case, and it's, surprise, shocker, yeah. It's going to look like a Mac Mini.
Yeah, although I looked at the picture, and it does look like a slick case. I wouldn't mind owning a case like that.
So. I got a Mac Mini. I think they're cool. So
yeah, I wouldn't mind a Mac Mini. I don't have a Mac desktop. I just have my MacBook Pro, and I'd like to have a desktop Mac. I mean, if it looks like that, if it looks as slick as that,
yeah,
you know, I don't care. You know,
and,
I like aesthetics just as much as the performance. So.
And mention of planned OSs, FreeBSD. Mm-hmm. We all know about Aeros bounty that's out
yep.
there. And looks like there's been some informal contacts with MorphOS, which be interesting. The fact that there'll be hardware that'll be supported by both MorphOS and, let's hope, OS 4.
Yeah. So, and with those pictures of U-Boot that surfaced last time around showing OS 4 on the SAM 440 or an option to boot it, I mean, we all know where it's going. It's just a matter of what's going to happen with the lawsuit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Hurry up and wait.
And, you know, it's all good. And let's hope some, can't wait until some new hardware is available. And it looks like we're on the cusp. I'm hopeful that we're on the cusp of some new interesting pieces of hardware that's going to be released. And for the hobbyists like mm-hmm. myself or, you know, any cool new hardware, regardless if it runs OS 4 or MorphOS, is always perks my interest. So I'm looking forward to it, even playing around and throwing Linux on it.
It'll be good. I think it'll be good for everybody. So
absolutely.
Just like I said, you know, hurry up and wait. That's just the way it's going to be. All right. Last that I've got on the list here is the new Win Aeros. Developer version is now out. There's also the new Win Aeros Lite, which I did install. I did play with it a little bit, and I did like it. I do like it. It's very nice. I couldn't get the BSD socket to work, but
for
networking.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm sure if I had played around, did a little more reading, you know, RTFM, I probably would have got it. You know, that was a light version, so it might be a little bit easier with the developer version. But that's just a guess. I haven't played with it.
Yeah, you know, cool. It's great to see Aeros progressing, and the fact that it's progressing how it is with such limited, their team is small, you know.
Yeah.
So kudos to them, and I hope things keep going and going. And, I mean, let's just say there's no new hardware out right now, well, mm-hmm. you know, that supports OS 4 and you know, as far as, you know, we might be looking at x86 architecture and Aeros being the only thing coming, and you know, so you gotta give kudos.
Take what you can get.
Yeah,
You know.
So.
But cool. Yeah, thanks. I got to say thanks for all the hard work, guys. I appreciate it. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people that appreciate all the hard work you guys are putting in on this too. So
support the bounties, support the fun, and
yeah,
let's try to get try to support them with some money as well.
Yeah, do what you can where you can. Let's see, that's all I've got here on the list for us. Do you have anything off the cuff that you can think of you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered it. We're trying to trim down the news segment because of the interview. I guess there's one thing we could elaborate on, the questions that we received in to ask Bill. That's just kind of the, that's our first foray into trying to get audience involvement in the show. Yeah. You know, here we go again. We're asking everybody to get in contact with us if they like what they hear. If you don't like what you hear, you know, give us some feedback. It's gonna be what keeps us going with this show. Wouldn't you agree, Rich?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't have a show without listeners. And, you know, if you guys don't tell us what you want, what you like, what you don't like, we can't, you know, make adjustments, add new things, take out stuff. It's all done by you. You are the guys that are telling us what to do, what not to do on the show. Because the more people we have listening, the better off the show is going to be. I mean, it's just one of those.
I mean, we're getting downloads. I mean, gosh, definitely folks are listening to it, and thank you very much, and thank you for the accolades and the comments that we have received. And we're trying to go from to a weekly show, Rich, so to speak. And so we couldn't have gotten to that point without everyone else's support. So thank you. You know, certainly if we're not an expert to all things, and if we need to be checked and if you want to help out, by all means, reach out to us and, we'll put you on the show.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say one thing. I want to thank Billsley over at Amigans.net. He was kind enough to take the bigger files of Amiga Roundtable, and he re-encoded some of them into smaller bit rates as well as into Ogg Vorbis format. So, cool. And he's made those available, and I've linked to them, to the ones that he has done for the first two episodes, and thank you for all your hard work, and we really do appreciate it. That right there, that shows that we're obviously doing something right, because somebody cares enough about the show to do something like that.
So. Yeah, I mean, we're not at the point where it's breaking us. You know, we have got server access paid for, so to speak, at least on my end, to help out. But I mean, what you could do is just reach out to us. Let us know what you would like us to do with the show, and any of your comments are welcome. It certainly at least helps me out and keeps me going and into the show. And I would assume, Rich, you would agree.
Oh yeah, I agree definitely 100%. And we do have something special coming up. We've got a little contest that I'm going to be working on that's going to get people involved. I don't know what kind of prize we'll give. I was thinking originally the universal gift of love, which is beer.
Yes, what we usually have to bribe our guests, and we owe a few.
Sometimes we have to bribe.
We owe some Guinness to a few folks. So.
We're just going to have to wait and see what happens and bear with us while we try to get our money together so we can pay off.
And some of the Guinness bribes might really pay off. We got couple surprises in store in upcoming shows too.
Yes.
So
there's a big one that I'm really looking forward to. I'm hoping this one really pans out. And ding dong, but there goes my thing. If you didn't hear it, my clock. So
we'll edit that one out. This is going to be the rough cut show.
This week is the rough cut show. There's the regular edition and the special edition. So the special edition will hit.
Long, rough week, so.
Yeah, it's especially today. Today was a rough one today. So you don't have anything
else? I'm done, man.
All right, I'm done with the news, too.
Let's
get on with the interview. Stick around. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be talking to Bill Panagoulias from Discrete FX. He's going to tell us all about his new movie, Oil Change. Plus, he's going to tell us about Discrete FX and answer your questions. So it's all coming up right after the break. Stay tuned for Sean Fitzgerald and myself. I'm Rich Lawrence.
Just Not Right, the podcast, is proud to announce a contest with prizes! Can you imitate a cartoon, celebrity, or anybody else badly?
You damn Mises to pieces! Oh my gosh, does that suck?
If you can, record it on an MP3 and send it to jake.cordova@gmail.com for your chance to win one of two fabulous prizes. Just Not Right, the podcast. Good Bad Impression Contest.
Now that is a man who has eaten a lot of beef.
See more at notrightpodcast.com.
And we're back. Sean Fitzgerald, Bill Pataglulis. I said that right, right?
Pataglulis, actually.
Pataglulis. Yeah. Okay. I'm going
to... You're going to have to write that down phonetically.
I think I should. I'm Rich Lawrence. And we're back for segment two. We're looking for questions from our listeners on all the major websites, AmigaWorld.net, Amigo.org, Amigans.net, as well as AmigaWeb.net, to send in your questions for Bill at DiscreetFX. And we got a few of them, and we're going to pose them to you. Okay, Bill? We're going to grill you.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, we got the lights on. We got the coffee, the cigarettes, the whole nine yards, and away we go. So let's start with question one. It's from Tommy, a.k.a. Thomas Kid, over at AmigaWorld.net. And he wanted to know, when are you going to answer his questions? And he said you knew what it was about, and he was just teasing you.
Okay. So. Yeah, he just wanted to do a quick interview for the website, and yeah, I'll get that completed.
Taking a look. So we scooped Tommy. We scooped AmigaWorld.net.
What a hard-hitting question that was.
The repercussions of that answer. All right, let's move on to the next one. Christer Jansen, his first question was, what's your biggest project in the coming year?
Oh, trying to get this movie done. It's our first movie, and it's really a big pain in the ass making a movie, especially when it's your first one. So trying to get that wrapped up.
Yeah, that's
taking forever.
Tell us a little bit about Oil Change.
Well, it all started back when Super Size Me came out, because before then, I just was so upset when I'd go to the grocery store, to a restaurant, and there's just trans fat in everything, and trans fat's really bad for you. It kills you, actually. I would say it's equivalent to cigarettes, except in food form. Trans fat's man-made. It's not something natural that you would normally get in your food. They float a hydrogen molecule into a liquid oil to make it have a longer shelf life, be easier to bake with. There's no taste benefit. And then Super Size Me came along, and I was like, you know, instead of just bitching about trans fat, I should do like Morgan Spurlock did, make a movie about it to make people aware of it. So that's where the movie idea started and came from.
And Burger King just recently changed over from trans fat to a different type of fat.
That's good. You got to watch out. Sometimes these companies will lie, though. Yeah. The lobbyists, they're able to say that they have zero trans fat if it's 5 or less per serving, but that can add up.
Yeah.
So there's little label manipulations and little lies in the food industry, which is unfortunate, and there's no benefit to the customer. Well, I guess maybe it makes the food cheaper, but it's terrible for you.
Now, is that only in the U.S. that we use trans fat? Is it just us that use trans fat, or is that over like in Europe and all that?
It really depends on where you go. Like in Denmark, it's illegal. They can't have trans fat in any of the food. But the U.S. is really bad about it compared to other countries. But it's in Canada and other countries as well.
I'll see. Next one. Obviously, one of the big news that we talked about earlier was your offer to buy Amiga Inc. And the next question pertains to that. How certain are you that you can manage to buy Amiga OS and trademark?
Well, back in October, I got together with an investor, and he got some other financial people involved, and we sent Amiga Incorporated a proposal. I talked to Bill McEwen both on the phone and in email, and it was a goal of ours to – it wasn't just DiscreetFX or me trying to buy Amiga, but it was a group of people. And Bill McEwen doesn't want our discussions made public or discussed at all.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right. Don't set out black ops there, Bill. Don't, you know.
But all we wanted was the best for the Amiga, to make it available again, and, you know, so customers can purchase it, so developers can develop new applications for it, because I hate to see history is being rewritten where the Amiga is not even mentioned or people don't know about it at all. You know?
Right. Now,
it's been a long time since I met someone that knew that desktop video started on the Amiga. People think it started on the Mac now, or God forbid, Windows.
I know that is kind of sad, you know, and it's a little disheartening for Amiga users. I mean,
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the next follow up question pertains, you know, to what, you know, the same thing. But you said you really can't talk about it. But what he wanted to know was, have you got any progress with this, or is it pretty much put on hold because of the trial? Can you say anything about that you guys still are talking in general, or just, or you can't say anything at all?
I was told about the trial just before it happened, and that's pretty much been it. I think their Amiga Incorporated is really focused on the trial now.
What do you think the outcome of the trial is going to be? Do you have any opinion on that?
Without reading the hundreds of pages of documents, I probably couldn't form an opinion on that. I'm not your armchair lawyer like a lot of people.
You know, I'm going to try to get a hold of Denise Howell over at This Week in Law and see if she'd be willing to come on the show and talk
about
the Amiga case. I mean, I think that would be good right there. Try to get Leo and Denise in here.
And the clerk from the Kent Report, or the Kent courtroom.
Yeah.
County just clerk.
A whole bunch of non-Amiga people in an Amiga podcast.
Yeah. We'll make this. Yeah, maybe a fly that's actually in the proceedings, too, or something.
You know, maybe we can get the court clerk to say, you know, McEwen was doing this. You know, he was picking his nose and this and that. So. Okay, next question is, when do you think we're going to get some progress to have Amiga OS, some new hardware? Do you have any insights on that?
I don't have any insights on when it'll be on new hardware. I mean, there's certainly plenty of announcements.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, there's no lack of announcements.
Yeah, but myself and my investors were kind of sad when we heard about the iPhone in January and then watched it ship in June. Not that the iPhone's a bad product, but I just think it's a missed opportunity for the Amiga OS. Amiga OS 4.0 would be perfect for mobile devices or for telephones. And, gosh, the iPhone just got all the press. It's unbelievable how Apple got everybody, even my grandmother knows iPhone, and she doesn't even like cell phones or has a computer.
Yeah, I
mean, everybody knows about the iPhone. She even knew the price.
I would say that it probably eclipsed the White House in a lot of the press cycles. So,
yeah.
I mean, there you go. You go from Iraq to Paris to iPhone. So,
yeah. Just myself and my investors, one of the reasons we wanted to buy Amiga Incorporated is because we thought there was a great potential for Amiga OS 4.0 on mobile devices and telephones. And the iPhone kind of stole that thunder.
Okay, well, the next question kind of leads us into that. Is it possible that you'll try to buy Hyperion if they end up getting the rights to Amiga OS? Would you make a bid for Hyperion?
I actually talked to them about that in October, and they turned me down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man,
maybe I even offered to fly them here for discussions.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so they must have their plans all set, I guess. Yeah.
They must. Well, we'll just have to wait and see how everything comes out. So, and the next question, how would you continue to develop the Amiga OS if you did get it? I mean, hire staff, open source, create bounties, that kind of thing. You want to share any of that, or do you want to keep kind of
I think the OS should definitely... Yeah, the OS should definitely be developed and taken further. You know, I'm one of the classic old-time Amiga guys. I bought my Amiga 500. I read about the Amiga 1000 in Amiga World when it came out. I purchased software. I turned into a developer because of the Video Toaster. So, yeah, I'd keep the Amiga what the Amiga is. I bought the developer's kit when it came out for Amiga DE, but never really got into it. So I'm the classic Amiga guy.
Now, what would you do with the Amiga OS, and in which order? I mean, what was...
I think making it available is probably...
that would be probably number one on your list, I would say.
Number one, yeah. then making it available on a wide type of devices, so the customers have a selection and a choice on what type of hardware they want to buy. I think it should be available on a mobile phone. I think it should be available on a desktop, on you know, a portable laptop type device. Customer choice enhances sales and, you know, gets your product out there.
Yeah, the wider base that you have, the better off you're going to definitely be.
think it's business 101. Yeah.
All right. Here's one that I thought was a really excellent question. What do you think is the most important thing in order to get the Amiga community to grow?
Again, availability.
Yeah.
And advertising, marketing. The Amiga is really not been advertised or marketed for some time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the only computer that's got balls, so you know, you gotta let people know that.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time we actually saw any kind of Amiga ad outside of a computer magazine? You had the TV commercials, and I think that was the biggest push that Commodore ever tried to make. But you haven't seen anything that big since.
That's true. Yeah, I always dreamed of maybe like some type of tie-in with a band or a music group, like, you know, like the Boys Are Back in Town. You do the Boing Is Back in Town, something like that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, catchy tune and
a little, you know, buy the rights to something catchy and associate it with that. Because I mean, a lot of companies are doing that nowadays. I mean, look at John Mellencamp. He sold the rights for Our Country to Chevrolet, and that campaign has been a big success over here in the United States. You know.
Yeah, I mean, look at Apple. They always do celebrity tie-ins and musician tie-ins, and
I mean, you can find that on their website all the time. So
yeah, and his first iPod ads look just like State of the Art, which was a popular Amiga Euro demo. Mm-hmm. It kind of bummed me out because a lot of people won't know that very possibly could have been inspired by the State of the Art. It's so similar to the theme, you know, of what State of the Art did. Mm-hmm. On his first iPod ad. So yeah, but that's a missed opportunity of not doing celebrity tie-ins and marketing. And that's how the Amiga started. You had Deborah Harry and you had Andy Warhol.
Yeah, it started. King. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it started all that.
Yeah. Here's another one. Do you think we'll see the latest new tech products on the Amiga again?
Ooh, I've talked to New Tech about that. They'd have to have a lot of sales. I mean, Tim Jennison still loves the Amiga, and he's always curious how Open Video Toaster is doing. But yeah, there'd have to be a justification. There'd have to be a lot of sales of product. I think what would be most likely be better to happen would be is if someone partnered with New Tech and did the porting for them. Mm-hmm. If there were, you know, if there were significant machines available again, I think New Tech would entertain something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, some new tech products on the Amiga, and it'd be a nice full circle thing, you know.
Nice, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I mean, because I used the video toaster a little bit when I went to broadcasting school.
I asked Tim Jennison one time, how long does the video toaster 4,000 card last? And he told me 1,000 years. So.
Oh, that's almost as good as Twinkies.
Because they haven't made them for a while, so I was curious, you know, how long this card going to last, you know, before it starts disintegrating.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is our last question that we got in here. Basically, it's from Stefanos from Amiga Hells Group, the Greek Amiga magazine. And he wanted to know if you're Greek and do you understand and speak or write the Greek language. I think he's looking to do an interview with you, Bill.
I actually am half Greek. And I was born in America, but I lived in Greece for like the first 5 years of my life. So I couldn't speak English till I was 6. But after I learned English, I lost a lot of my Greek, unfortunately. Hopefully he speaks English too.
I don't know if he does. He's the email that he sent in. I mean, obviously he must write English, and I don't know how good his spoken English is, but.
I downloaded the magazine and I had to send it to my dad so he can tell me what it says.
what
I know we were talking about it in the last episode. It's boy, it looks pretty slick. Jeez,
it does.
It's all Greek to me, you know.
You just had to work that in, didn't you, Sean?
Boom.
But I mean, what did you think of Amiga Hellas, Bill? What, did you like it?
Oh yeah, it looked great. Yeah, I just couldn't read it, just like you guys.
Yeah.
Do you, Bill, I got a question for you. Do you view if you know, the moon aligned with Pluto and somehow you took over Amiga Inc., would you see Amiga Inc. as more of a software, real focused on the software side of things and OS development and leaving the hardware up to third parties with a relationship with third parties? Or do you see it as making Amiga Inc. a whole umbrella for both the software solution, the OS development, and the hardware? Or do you think this whole, you know, having folks like A-Cube and Act Controls and et cetera get involved with hardware development? Is that where you kind of position yourself?
Well, I think you could have a best of both worlds. Like in the case of a desktop computer, you know, you're not going to have the budget or the resources to beat an NVIDIA or, you know, someone that makes custom chips for graphics. So in that case, you would have partners that make the machines for you. But in the case of having an Amiga and a joystick for people to play games with in the store, you know, that type of hardware you should probably do in-house.
Okay.
So, but for the most part, it's good to have choices and licensees. I mean, that's how the PC industry took off. You had a lot of different choices for the customer.
Right.
In today's world, I think it'd be difficult to do the whole desktop computer in-house since you have all these other companies that are very good at the computer and have more resources.
Give us the website URL for all your stuff. DiscreteFX, the movie.
DiscreteFX.com is the main site. OilChangeMovie.com is the for the film. And the OpenVideoToaster.org is for if people want to download the source code to the Amiga Video Toaster and play with it.
But so. Let's wrap it up here. Bill, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for taking all these questions.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no problem.
Bill, thanks so much for joining us, and we enjoyed enjoyed your candor, and we look forward to seeing the movie and, gosh, all the development work that you're doing. You know, so appreciative and such a breath of fresh air and in the Amiga community. And I hope to see even more things from your organization. And you know, kudos to you for helping foster the Open Toaster movement. And you should be applauded. So I appreciate your time.
You're a very big asset to the Amiga community, Bill. You really are, and we really do appreciate it.
Thanks. Just try my best. Get challenging in this community sometimes.
Yeah.
Any last words for us? Any comments you could tell our listeners? Any you want to tip us off to anything? Go right ahead. Otherwise, hopefully we'll have you on when you have some more news about some of your other projects.
Well, I just want people to stay positive, and at least there is, you know, something to fight over. At least the Amiga is still here in 2007. You know, it could be worse.
Yeah, if it wasn't worth fighting over, then we wouldn't be having half these conversations and making these jokes. So.
Yeah, OS 4 is a great update. You know, I play with it and it looks fantastic. I see why they did this, and this is nice. And there's a lot of hard work that's gone into the keeping the Amiga around. So that's a positive.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be very awesome. All right, Bill, thanks again for joining us on Amiga Roundtable. Sean, thank you for being my co-host.
Always a pleasure.
Sean and I will close things up after this. Stick around. I'm Rich Lawrence.
Rich Lawrence here, host of the Amiga Roundtable podcast. The Amiga was the premier multimedia computer of the late 80s and early 90s. Amiga Roundtable is the only podcast bringing you news about the community, discussion, and opinion from its members. So join myself and my co-host Sean Fitzgerald for a look inside the Amiga community on Amiga Roundtable. You can visit us at www.amigaz.org. Amiga Roundtable is a production of AmiZ Studios and the Amiga Z BBS. And that's going to wrap up another episode of Amiga Roundtable. I want to thank Bill Panagoulias from DiscreteFX for coming on Amiga Roundtable. You can visit the DiscreteFX website at discretefx.com and visit his movies webpage at oilchangemovie.com. If you have any comments or questions about Amiga Roundtable, stop by our website at www.amigaz.org, or you can email us at amigaroundtable@gmail.com. Amiga Roundtable is a production of AmiZ Studios and the Amiga Z BBS. For my co-host, Sean Fitzgerald, I'm Rich Lawrence. Thanks for listening.